Good morning, KRFY listeners, and thanks for tuning in to Community Conversation. I'm Susie Prez, your host today. Community Conversation is an interim show in place of the live morning show and broadcasts each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m., bringing local content through recorded interviews. And please note, Community Conversation presents interviews via Zoom. And due to occasional internet glitches, sound quality can vary. So thank you for your patience. We also want to thank Zoom for supporting our community conversation efforts. Today's show will be available on our website after the broadcast at krfy.org. Today, we will be talking with Tony Summer, president of Community Assistant League of Sandpoint, also known as CAL. CAL is a vital service organization in our community and has been doing good work for over 40 years. It's also the host of one of the coolest places in town to shop, Bazaar Bazaar. And we're going to take listeners on an audio tour of the store later in the interview. All right, now I'd like to welcome Tony Summer, president of CAL Community Assistant League. Thank you, Tony, so much, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Susie.
So nice to have you. And why don't you tell us a bit about you and your involvement in CAL? What and why are you involved?
So I, like a lot of people up here, is a California transplant. And I had recently retired in February, March of 2015. And I was looking for some way to meet people in the community and be involved. I had shopped at Bazaar Bazaar and saw that they were this really cool upscale retail store and that I could work there and meet people as well as give back to the community. So I joined in spring of 2015 and I loved it. I had worked for 51 years at that point, as well as I had dealt with a lot of interesting workplace dynamics. And what I really learned to love about it is not only did I get to meet a great bunch of women, but the women were all focused towards this community service and raising money for scholarships and grants for the Bonner County. And we didn't argue, we didn't have unions, we didn't have employee evaluations, we didn't have work schedules. We just got to play store. And I don't mean to downplay what we were doing. We were doing a bang up job. What you also need to know is my background is business. I was a business teacher at the community college level. And Bazaar Bazaar is a classic success business story. So I was also intrigued with that whole aspect of it. And I got asked to be on the board as secretary. I was then vice president, and then starting last year, I have a two-year term as president, which has been an interesting year with COVID.
And we'll talk a little bit about how COVID has affected one of our very, very favorite community service organizations. So you mentioned that CAL raises funds through the store called Bazaar Bazaar, and I love how it's spelled. It's a bazaar, as if you're in a kasbah somewhere, and it is bazaar. So it's B-I-Z-A-R-R-E and B-A-Z-A-A-R. So that's kind of a little cool play. I know some people call it bizbag, but anyways, so you raise funds not only through the store, but in other ways too. We'll talk about that in a minute. And you mentioned to support your scholarship and grant programs. Tell us about these two philanthropic efforts. Who benefits? What is the goal each year? And where are we at with those right now in your grant cycle?
So basically, the club is 42 years old. And it's in the early years, it was a lot of hard work helping community projects. And it was about in year 10 that they started raising money for scholarships and grants for the community. And I actually came across, we did a 40-year anniversary show for the members September of 2019. And they actually were very proud of their first $10,000 year of giving money away. So basically, and the program has grown probably to about $140,000 a year in grants and scholarships, okay? Those scholarships go to Bonner County graduating high school seniors, public, private, and homeschooled, all as long as they live in Bonner County, and is to help pay for their first semester in college, first year in college. I misspoke. But what I really like about the program is once you get one of these scholarships, you can apply year after year for as long as you're in school. So we have some recipients who are actually in graduate school. I like that because students get a lot of scholarships that first year and then there's nothing, right? And so we follow the students through their educational process. Last year we gave, and I'm going to do a guess, so probably about $30,000, $40,000 in scholarships. We also spend about 70% of our money on community grants. And the community grants can be anything from buying radios for the fire department. One of my favorite is there is a grief camp for children that the court system does in Bonner County, and we give money for scholarships for that, scholarships for other sporting activities, books for classrooms in the schools, buying a new oven for the senior center, buying a refrigerator for another food bank, or whatever the case may be. It is a formal process. There is an application process that happens both the grants and the scholarships. They happen in the spring, and the grants are awarded in late spring, May, June timeframe, so to speak. And they have the next fiscal year. In this case, the next fiscal year will be the fall of 2021 into the spring of 2022 to, in fact, spend those grant funds on the particular project they've been awarded. It's very competitive and very popular in the sense we always have more requests than we have money. But the committees work very, very hard to find what they think are the best projects and the ability at the same time to spread the money over as many organizations as possible. So that's basically what we use Bazaar Bazaar for, is to raise those monies. If I could, let me give a little history to put into context. In the early days, they had they made enchiladas and sold them. They had, you know, Christmas tree sales or whatever it was. I mean, we're going to call the generic bake sale. And they had a one-day rummage sale. And it was called Bazaar Bazaar. And it got more and more and more popular. This is about 20 years ago, give or take. And I hear legends of the venue with lines around the corner to get in that one day and whatever. Were you there? Oh, good. I wish I had been. I just love the history of it. I had such a great pleasure of dealing with the original founders 2 years ago to learn the whole story. But anyway, and there was a push about 22 years ago, like, what if we did this full time? And they kind of kicked it around. They went from 1 day a week to 6 days. No, I'm sorry, 1 day a year to 6 days a week in one leap of faith. We are in the second site. It was originally in Ponderay. We're now on 502 Church Street in Sandpoint. And it has grown ever since. At that time, they decided to take the Bazaar Bazaar rummage sale to a store year round. It was decided it would be the primary fundraiser, as opposed to having all the little fundraisers. We do at our social events, we'll auction off things and give special to the Cancer Society, to Kinder Care, that type of thing, whatever funds are raised. But our primary grants and scholarship fundraising is Bazaar Bazaar.
So that $140,000 a year that you allocate towards grants and scholarship really comes mostly from Bazaar Bazaar, the mm-hmm. store, the really cool store. But there are other ways that people can donate and a few other ways that you might be fundraising some of those funds. What are some of those?
Well, okay. So let me go back to Bazaar Bazaar. So a way that we are really thankful our community. In fact, one of the hesitations they had of taking that rummage sale to a year-round store was, would they have enough donations? And let me tell you, the community has stepped up. We have, for the last 20 plus years, had some little low points, but for the most part, continuous donations. We have a lot of estate donations, people who are remodeling and bringing in their furniture and their housewares, or their sizes change in their clothes, their kids have grown and we get the kids' clothes. Somebody doesn't wear business suits anymore and they get donated, et cetera, et cetera. So that is a way that the community in general can participate, is the fact that they help donate the goods. We only sell donated goods, and we only sell the cream of the crop of those donated goods. Yes.
Well, let's talk about that a minute, because okay. It's upscale.
Yes.
Not a secondhand store per se.
No.
And we're going to take a little, like I said, a verbal tour through it in just a little bit. But let's talk a little bit about the kind of donations that you're looking for, and to bring it to that upscale point, because it really is special and it is different.
Well, we do it in two different ways. We inspect every item. We take furniture, books, housewares, children, men's, women's clothes, jewelry. We have probably a really great jewelry department, and shoes. But we inspect them. They obviously are used for the most part. We get new stuff too, just because people have bought things and then not worn them and they get donated to us. But we check. We check for stains, we check for wear and tear, we check for damage, that type of thing. If we can mend it, fix it, clean it, wash it, iron it, steam it, whatever we do. So we bring it up to the highest quality. If in fact the item is damaged in any way, but useful, we have a whole group of other thrift stores and nonprofits that are raising money through thrift stores that we pass it on to. So everything is sorted, and we pass on those that are not quite good enough for our particular store, but can be used in other stores to raise money. I would say of all the donations, less than 1% is thrown away, because we're able to recycle it back out to other fundraising opportunities. And so that's how we do it, is by keeping it clean, cleaning it, inspecting it. And like I said, I tell people, feel free to donate, because if we can't use it, we make sure it finds a good place to be used.
So again, there's the store, Bazaar Bazaar, and that is your main source of revenue for your philanthropic efforts through the scholarship and grants program. Do people make large financial cash donations also? Is there another way that people can give besides turning over their used items for resale?
Yes, it is not uncommon for people to make donations to us. The most common donation is directly into our grant or scholarship funds, and we honor that, and we count that as additional money to those two pots that we originally we dole out once a year. We also sometimes just get to help support our overhead. You understand, everybody is a volunteer, right up through our management and our accounting. Everybody's a volunteer. The only overhead we have is the rent and the utilities. And so we can get all the fundraising money, the money from the store, as much as possible back to the community. But people do donate funds to us. It's not uncommon, especially by the end of the year when tax time is coming up. We do. And we appreciate those as well, because again, our ultimate goal is to help the community, and we're doing it through our grant program. Let me give you an aside of what we did this past year that was slightly different, if you would let me. So as it turned out, remember, we all got shut down in late March last year from COVID. And we were just going into the processing of our grants. We had opened the grant applications. We were just closing the grant application process. And the committee was about to start their work. And the committee chair and the committee approached me and said, do you mind if we in fact set aside some of our allocation for grants for special COVID grants. And so what we did is we took a proportion of the money, and it was primarily food bank type things. We gave grants before we processed the rest of the money, because we wanted to be an immediate response to the COVID. We even had some food banks who I think is probably was quite practical on their part, who said, no, don't give it to us now. Wait a few months and let's see how this all plays out. So we were able to help them at that time. So we tried to be somewhat reactionary to what's going on in the community as well. So that was fairly exciting for us, I'm sure for the recipients too.
So speaking of COVID, there are a lot of nonprofits in our area. KRFY is one of them. And raising funds during this pandemic that has affected everyone has been interesting. I would say people have reached deep into their pockets and supported our amazing community through the nonprofits and other ways too. What have you seen as far as, yes, you did close Bazaar Bazaar for a while, but then you opened it back up, and how has that all been working? Do you have a mask wearing at Bazaar Bazaar? And how is it going? Are people still shopping and are you raising funds?
So that was an interesting thing, as it's been for everybody else. Okay, as you well know, our membership, a good part of it is over the age of 65. And so there was a concern, especially with COVID and the groups that don't do as well with COVID compared to others. And so we had quite a quandary, like I'm sure most people did, as to when to open back up. Balanced with how could we keep the funds flowing in so that we could help with grants and scholarships, because they were going to be needed even more now. And so we struggled with it, and we actually didn't open, I think, too close to June, because we really want to be sure, because another major component is our volunteers, and we needed to protect them, and we needed to be sure that we would have some volunteers. And so we made a decision. We normally would open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 4, I apologize. We decided to open from Monday through Saturday, 11 to 3. We actually worked now, we have 4-hour open hours as opposed to 6. And we were expecting the hit. We even made sure in our budgeting that we had enough money to carry us with our overhead, the rent and et cetera, for a year, so that we in fact could still be around when we were through all this. We have now been 2 hours less every day, which equals 12 hours less every week, open for business. And our money, our fundraising is almost equal to the previous year. People came into the store and it was so wonderful. They go, "We're so happy you're open. You are an essential business." We heard that over and over and over again. And so that was exciting. People were excited we were opening, they were supporting us, we were getting the donations and we were getting the customers. And we were dealing with a skeleton crew of volunteers, because not all our members, which are around the 235 women, were comfortable coming in, and I don't blame them. So we were able to do that. The mask issue was probably our biggest hurdle. And there's no right and wrong in this. And as I always say, everyone has their story. And what was interesting in Northern Idaho, up until recently, we didn't have any mask mandate. So it was really hard to make a decision which way. And it did cause some contention between our members, because some members cared not to, could not, or didn't want to wear a mask. And there were some members that would only come in if in fact masks were worn. And so the board really, really struggled with this one. And what we essentially decided was that we would provide volunteer opportunities for every member. If in fact members wanted to come in before or after hours, where they wouldn't necessarily have to wear a mask, or they wanted to be by themselves and wear a mask, they could. If they wanted to do tasks that did not require interaction with other volunteers or customers, they could, and wouldn't necessarily have to wear a mask. We have two Mondays, don't ask me which two Mondays, but two Mondays a month in what we call mask only days. And that means if you volunteer those days, you must wear a mask. And they would really, 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 really appreciate if, in fact, the customers do too. We offer hand sanitizer, we offer masks, we ask, you know, in the protection of our volunteers, we strongly encourage you wear a mask. And what I'm noticing since June, when we reopened to now, I would say the majority, probably at least 90% of our customers, in fact, wear masks. Yeah. Okay, but again, it's optional, but we strongly encourage it.
It sounds like you creatively and kindly met the challenge of the mask issue, and really were pretty inclusive with your diverse membership group and your volunteers. So bravo on that. And thank just you. To reiterate that you are an all-volunteer organization. And when you talk about people really still shopping energetically at Bazaar Bazaar, every time I drive by, the parking lot is full, and you have a great parking lot there on both sides of the building. So people are supporting your endeavor. I just wanted to back up a minute, back all the way to the grants and scholarship program. You said that it opens up, the application process opens up in the spring. Just tell us a little bit about who can apply, who should apply, and how they would apply.
Okay, so the scholarships are distributed. We work very closely with all the high schools, as well as we have applications available online. It is now an online process, an online application process. And we have in the past, and I will say with almost certainty, they're still available at the libraries. That's the scholarship process. But if they go into their counseling offices, they can usually have help. As far as the grant application is also online. As luck would have it, as an aside, last year, our grants chair decided to make its processing from our end all online. And so now we're able to do it totally electronically, even for the volunteers who are making the decision. So that was a stroke of just luck. Any nonprofit educational organization can apply. They must be an organization. It can't be a group of people that got together and thought it really do a good idea to, you know, do something. And we do ask for a summation of what they're going to do and what they hope the outcome, you know, why they want to do the project. We want to introduce music to students in Bonner County. Not all students have access to instruments. And so we are increasing the violins in our instrument library for borrowing type of thing, okay? Mm-hmm. And how many they're going to buy and what they cost per instrument. I'm giving an example, obviously. Right. And then how many they plan on buying and what they hope to come out of that.
So okay? A little bit specific, things that really support the larger picture in our community, right. a larger group, a diverse group. And
right.
Spread out the funding that way. So it sounds like you have a grant committee that looks at those.
Right. Grants. And usually the grants are anywhere from a couple hundred dollars to several thousand dollars, that type of price range, just to give you. And then they're required to also give us a report back. We forward the money, they get the money up front, so they have the funds to buy whatever they propose to buy. And then they must show us that it was actually bought and the finished project. I mean, for example, we had a museum that needed to put a handicap ramp in. They sent us pictures of the handicap ramp, you know, that type of thing. And so those are, like I said, the projects that come up are really diverse.
So, yep, it sounds like it's good for our community to know about that. And you mentioned that those, both the scholarship through the high school, Geraldine over there at the high school.
Oh, she's a big help, yes.
And also online at CAL Sandpoint, that's calsandpoint.org is your website. And I don't want to run out of time, Tony, before we get to take a little tour of the store, because it really is special. You know, I haven't been in a while, but I'm going to start and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
And when you walk in, the first thing I notice every time is how clean and kind of festive and sparkly it feels.
So the comment we get most is smells good.
It smells good. It looks yes. good. Right on each side as you walk in, there's these, or at least there was, there's these shelves with very special gifts. And when you go to a store like this, you can buy for yourself, but it's a great place to buy gifts because the things that I notice on those first display shelves are treasures. Treasures yes. that people could pass on to someone else who would appreciate them. But I want to talk about one of my favorite things when I walk in the door is the first place I look is over to the right by the dishes and the cookware, because there's these display tables and oftentimes beautiful old dish sets. Yes. And I like to look at them and admire them and think about someone, they're someone's treasures that they didn't need anymore. I like to think of the many family meals and special occasions that those dishes hosted and how someone new will get to enjoy them. It's really, this is all true. That's one place that really stops me. And I just like to look at them and think about the people that used to use them. So
I do the same thing, yes.
It's true. It's really very special. And because I know the person who is the jewelry person, I'll just take you on a little tour over to the jewelry counter.
My very favorite department, yes.
Yes. And I'll have you tell about it a little bit, but it's special. It's really well done. And a very special person kind of hosts that or that department. And
Marilyn does a great job.
She does. Yes. And she is my sister. And she loves what she does there. Why don't you describe why you like that department?
I like it because, first of all, how it's displayed is just so inviting. And I just like seeing what's available, the different things. I like, my favorite counter is the one in the back, which has what she calls the vintage. And you can get sterling silver or older pieces of jewelry or whatever the case may be. We have rings, we have earrings, we have brooches, we have pins, and it's always unique. It's all one of the kind. And there's always something special there. And it's very inexpensive, very, very inexpensive. I think sometimes they actually undercharge, but I'm willing to pay the lower price. Yeah.
I think people come in specifically for the jewelry department.
I would agree.
And then there's books.
Oh, yes, we have all kind of books. I will make a confession. During COVID, I would seek my mom in on Sunday so she could get a book because the libraries were closed. No, we have mysteries. We have nonfiction. We have fiction. We have children's books. We have cookbooks. It's just, it's almost a mini little library and great books. Yes. It's only $2 for a hardback and $1 for a paperback. And on Fridays, it's half price.
That's nothing for yes. a book. And so then you mentioned that sometimes people are liquidating their homes in the sense that they're moving on to smaller apartments maybe. So sometimes you have furniture.
Yes.
And
so we've had couches, love seats, armoires, tables with chairs, coffee tables, cabinets. And again, we only do the good stuff. I mean, it's used furniture, obviously, but some beautiful, beautiful pieces. Very much so, yes. And it's whatever happened to be donated that week.
It probably leaves pretty quick. It probably
gets very quick, yes.
Pretty fast. And then the women's clothing department, really nicely displayed again, yes. by size.
By color and size.
Color and size. Yes. I know. So you can pick out your favorite color. And I have to say, I found some real treasures there.
Yes, yes. And we also in the back have tuxedos and gowns, wedding gowns, prom gowns, this type of thing. So it's just so exciting to see some woman who finds a gown there for $20 that fits her perfect. It's really nice, yes. We have shoes to go with them too.
And so this is everything that's downstairs.
Oh, and purses.
And purses, I was going to say. And sometimes some really interesting things come in. That's the thing about Bazaar Bazaar. There's interesting things.
And all the artwork on our walls are donated artwork that's for sale.
There you go. Do you sell much artwork?
It depends. Not really. It's probably not the quickest seller, but let me sell. There's some pretty nice stuff there. So if you're decorating a new home or apartment or whatever, I would be a place. That's where people come to buy because they can decorate their second homes fairly quickly.
All right. Well, why don't you take us up the stairs? What's upstairs?
Okay. You go upstairs and you kind of start seeing the cutest little clothes. There's a children's department. It's everything from infants to about size 12 and rocking horses and children's books and the little shoes and all that type of thing, some games. And from there you go into the crafts department, which has everything from fabric to yarn to knitting needles and other craft supplies, which then ends in the top overlook with the men's department, which has like right now a lot of jackets and boots and jeans and pants and winter clothes. And in the summer, there's all the Aloha shirts and the shorts and swimsuits and whatever the case may be. There's always dress shirts up there. And again, it's a great place. You can get a men's shirt and a woman's blouse as well for around $5 to $6.
Very reasonable. And as you say, it's upscale clothing. So
then there's one more department.
Okay.
One, when you walk in the door, if you hang an immediate left and go into the corner, that is our half price rack. And we only leave merchandise. We don't have merchandise on the floor for more than 3 months. And if it's on the floor for any reason for more than 3 months, it gets moved to the half price rack. And you can get some really good stuff there because remember, we only put out the best. It's just for whatever reason, seasonal color, whatever, it's on that rack. I always go there right after the jewelry department.
Sounds good. And there's a lot going on behind the scenes. You have the store, and behind the store is where all the stuff comes in. So if people want to donate, they take it to a side door, is what I understand.
Right. We have as much square footage in the back as we have in the front.
So that's where things are sorted, cleaned, steam cleaned, pressed, getting.
And then we also will put them in the back, keep them in the back room for seasons. We only put winter stuff out in the winter, summer stuff out in the summer. So that's where if somebody were to make a donation of a winter coat in July, we would just hold on to it in the back. And that's all organized by different departments. And we have furniture back there and books and whatever. So yes, yeah, we want the biggest chance for anything that's donated to sell. So we try to put it on the floor when it's most appropriate.
And I know that each department is kind of chaired or run by a specific person. So a shout out to those volunteers that have taken on, and I bet they take quite a bit of pride in making sure their departments are just right and spiffy.
And so can I tell you a real quick story? Remember how I mentioned a couple minutes ago, I snuck my mom during COVID in on Sundays to get books because the libraries were closed. Well, her library was being remodeled. And so I snuck her in a couple weeks ago and there were like 8 women there because that's the Sunday crew that gets the store ready for Monday morning. And they were working their little tushies off, getting it all set up on all the different departments. I was so proud of them.
Well,
so it is a 7-day a week thing.
Right, 7 days a week. And a completely dedicated volunteer, all volunteer organization. I think that's important to stress.
That we have our 2 store directors that we also have to give a shout out to. Sherry and Diane, who pretty much manage the store on a volunteer basis.
Wonderful work for the Community Assistance League. And again, let's give some contact information. By the way, you have a wonderful website. The grant and scholarship applications are on that website. And that again is calsandpoint.org. The store, Bazaar Bazaar, is located at 502 Church Street. That's just west of Fifth Avenue. The hours of operation are 11 to 3, Monday through Saturday. And what else can we tell them? What a great job you're doing.
Oh, and we're always looking for members. Come and join us and help us play store. It's a lot of fun.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Well, I want to thank you, Toni Summers, for coming on the show today. You're president of the board of the Community Assistance League. I would say that Cal is very fortunate to have you and your enthusiasm too. So thanks for all you do.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And we'll touch on, yeah, and call KRFY anytime you want to do a little update on what Cal is up to. And good luck with your scholarships and grant program this spring.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Toni.
Okay.
And that's about it, folks. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY Community and listener-supported radio for North Idaho and beyond. Streaming on the web at krfy.org. This and all Community Conversation shows are podcast on the station's website at krfy.org. And since we are a resource to help our community with information and news, the North Idaho area and our county is in a critical COVID-19 pandemic, orange stage, and at this time, stage 2. Remember to follow the Panhandle Health District, Idaho State, and federal government CDC guidelines. Please wear a mask in public, especially inside buildings and businesses. Keep a 6 to 10 foot distance, wash up, stay home as much as possible. Stay home if you are sick. Do not gather in large groups indoors. Get tested if you are sick and have been exposed. Contact your healthcare provider to set up a test appointment. It's really pretty simple, and we can get through this together. Let's be good neighbors and friends and protect each other. And again, please wear a mask. Keep yourself and others safe. Thanks for listening to today's Community Conversation. Remember, we air every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on 88.5 KRFY Community Radio. Please enjoy Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. Have a great day, and bye for now.